Session number 6203, Mr. Joseph Stagno, Reel 1.
Mr. Stagno, Tape 1. Mr. Stagno, could I ask you something about your life in Gibraltar prior to the outbreak of war? For instance, were you a Gibraltarian?
Yes,
were you
born in Gibraltar, in Catlin Bay, which is a little bay to the back of the rock, which is the east side of the rock. It's a little fishing village, and mostly originally populated by Genoese sort of emigrants, I suppose you might call them, from Genoa, mostly through the course of events of the Napoleonic Wars, of when they left Genoa and came mostly to Gibraltar. And the older people of Gibraltar stem from Genoa and Genoese people, a very few are from actually from Spanish stock, not the very old people, but that's where I came from, Catlin Bay.
And are those your origins, from the Genoese
part? Yes. I've traced them to a little place called Pelly, which is just outside of Genoa. It's a fishing village again. But if you ever go around that part of the world, you see the attraction between the two places, the very great similarity.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a sailmaker by trade, but in this little, in Catlin Bay, in those days, in the 20s, they worked in the mostly for the government department in Gibraltar, like dockyards or military, and the fishing in between. So his job was actually a qualified sailmaker and upholsterer, and fisherman in between.
And how about the rest of the family?
Well, it was only the mother, my mother, and the only child, I'm afraid, that the others didn't survive. And, well, she just used to be a housewife, because in that period and in the sort of environment that we lived in, they didn't go to work in those days. They just stayed
at
home.
So what sort of life were you living? You would have been a schoolboy then,
would you? Yes.
How old were you, say, when war broke out in 1939?
About 13, I think. Yeah, must have been about 13, I suppose. Or just come up to 13, yes.
And, you know, could you give me some idea of the sort of life you were living in Gibraltar as a schoolboy of 13?
Well, mostly going to school every day and, you know, involved in activities like scouting and usual boys' activities. And, of course, when war broke out, we were incorporating part of the ARP, as it was called then, and all that sort of thing, and you know, trained in work to assist the ARP. In my particular case was to assist to go in the dockyard as a messenger, which we did at the outbreak of war, and would stay, you know, sort of went to different departments in the dockyard where we were sort of stationed and just run messages and things like that. I was in the Sea Scouts, not the Land Scouts.
What religion were you?
Originally Roman Catholic.
And would you say you were a religious family?
Yes. The going back to the Catlin Bay, they were very religious, and they still are, actually. I would even go so far as to say that I would liken them to a Jewish community in their sort of strong sort of links with the church. Because there's a little church there. Little village and a little church there with the patron saint, of course, a fisherman and all this sort of thing. And they're very, very religious. Even the men of the village, particularly Sunday, they went to church morning and evening.
Do you think you could spell the name of that bay for me?
Catlin. That's a C-A-T-A-L-A-N. Now, the origin of the name is obscure, actually. It's associated with part of the original force that captured Gibraltar, because they were helped by the Catalans from Spain. But there's no actual verification of that.
You were, of course, British subjects, weren't
yes,
you,
that's
Gibraltarians?
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any connections with Britain yourself, direct connections?
No. Not in my in my family, now, none whatsoever.
Mm. Did many of the people of Gibraltar, do you think?
Not the actual, shall we say, Gibraltarians themselves, no. Only in some cases where there'd been a marriage between, say, one of the a girl, or most of the girls were the servicemen, you know, in the army and that sort of thing. But on average, no.
Well, what did it mean to you as a young boy to be a British citizen living in Gibraltar? You know, did you have any sort of feelings about this?
Well, no, not really, because you knew you were British. You lived in a colony. I mean, you was aware of that fact, and they didn't have any, you know, you didn't feel any different, if you get what I mean. But the older people were, they still are, very proud of the fact that they are British, and you say anything to them otherwise, they call them anything else, they take off. Yeah.
Did you have any knowledge of war prior to the outbreak of the Second World War?
Well, only in as much as I'd read in books and that, you know, Charge of the Light Brigade and things like that, you know, nothing exceptional, no.
How about the Spanish Civil War?
I'd had a little bit of, or seen some of the effects of the Spanish Civil War in Gibraltar, we all did. I happened to live close to the frontier at the time, and a lot of refugees came off from Spain, and a little bit of gunfire and so on, and we did have a stray bomb one day, hit the race course, and there was a game of polo on. But, and of course there was incidents of a Spanish warship that sheltered in Gibraltar, which ended up in Catalan Bay as well. But apart from that, that was the only, you know, sort of connection I had with the Spanish Civil War. It did affect Gibraltar in some ways, that restrictions going over the border became more tight, and for a time the frontier was closed and things like that. But apart from bringing in more restrictions with regards to going over the border, and of course the influx of Spanish refugees, that was about it.
Where do you think the sympathies of the people lay in Gibraltar?
What, as regards to the last war?
To the Spanish Civil War.
Well, with the Reds, as they were called, or the Communists, if some people call them. The Republicans, which is a proper term, I think, the Republicans, not the Fascists. Because this is the run-up to the... for the war that was coming with Hitler over Germany and all that. And I think the most of sympathy was with the Republic.
What was the reaction on Gibraltar when war broke out in 1939?
Well, I don't think I can answer that one very well, because, as I say, very little, from my point of view, and my certainly personal view, it didn't affect us in all that much, not at first. And things just carried on, apart from, as I say, activities in AARP and Auxiliary Fire Service and all that sort of thing, all being organised. At first, none whatsoever, I think.
Was anything done regarding the defences of Gibraltar?
Yes, I believe there was, yes. As I say, again, in parts of the rock where as civilians you were not allowed to go, I think there were new fortifications, gun emplacements and things like that came about. But again, as I say, as a boy of that age, I didn't see much of that, you know. Apart from, as I say, the organising of ARP and civil defence, as you might call it today. That's about it.
As a boy of 13, did you know anything about what was happening in the war? From sort of...
Clash between Britain and Germany over Poland, but only very, very limited, you know, as I say. I wasn't at the age to have a lot of worry in that respect, not at that age. And, of course, with Mussolini, because the only thing that had a bit of effect in Gibraltar at the time was his invasion of... Abyssinia, you know, sort of did have a marked effect on the rock, in, you know, in way of opinion and that. But other than that, no, you know.
How was opinion affected? What did they then think of the Italians?
Well, you know, they sort of against the way, you know, things had been done. But as I say, it's only a, you know, very, it's the only what I sort of heard and that, not don't quote me as a true fact, you know.
Did you hear anything about sort of Germans in Spain, the increase of German?
No, not at the time, no.
After September 39, did you?
Well, later on, about, so when we'd already been evacuated, the you know, the connection between the two countries and you know, the Germans in Spain, not actually as regards to you know, in the way of fifth column and things like that. But like I say, this only came more prominent after we'd been evacuated.
What were relations with Spain like at that time, you know, during the early days of the war?
I think they were still pretty, from my point of view, pretty amiable. I must say they tightened up restrictions as regards to going over the border, and there was no real feeling between the two. And this, I mean, the workers still came into Gibraltar to do the to work in the dockyard, which three parts of the labour force there consisted of Spaniards. So there was no ill feeling as such, you know, not amongst the average people. Like, they might have been amongst the politicians, but not amongst the average people.
Do you think you could give me some idea of the people actually living, the groups of people mm-hmm. living in Gibraltar, you know, during the time of the early months of the war? Who would they have been, the people who were sort of liable for evacuation?
Well, all those that were born and you know, were British subjects and or Gibraltarians themselves, you know, that's they were not in any way, because there were a lot of Spanish people living in the Rock, like, were married to, say, Gibraltarians. And but if you was a Gibraltarian, you know, a bona fide Gibraltarian, you was liable to evacuation. And the first evacuation, which I say was to North Africa, I just make this point that it was compulsory for women and children, and you know, old people and sick people, but not for single women or men. Not the first evacuation. But as I say, anybody that was British or Gibraltarian was liable to evacuation.
What would the age limit have been for, say, a child?
Well, all children.
Would it
up until the age of, I would say, the age of 18. You know, they were liable to military, you know, they could be conscripted, like, which I think is 18, well, by then, I don't know about today. And they were all liable to evacuation. In other words, mothers and children all had to go, but not single women or single men or men that were, you know, fit for military service. They could stay. That was the first evacuation.
Did any people make their own arrangements?
Yes, yes. Their provision was made. Anybody who wanted to pay their own expenses and so forth, which many did, they did. And some of them went over to the Azores. And not the Azores, sorry, beg your pardon, to Madeira in the call them islands anyway. Some of them went to live over there and paid their own expenses and so forth. Yeah, Madeira.
They presumably would have been richer people, would they?
People were sort of better off, like, you know, and they didn't want to particularly go with the normal evacuation. And of course, a lot of them stayed there for the duration, never came back, you know. But some did come back, you know, and were caught up in the second evacuation. But as I say, only people who could afford it. But the provision was made anyway. They went over to Madeira.
Can you remember the date of this first evacuation?
Well, I would say it was sometime between February and might have been April, but I'm sure it was started in February. But of course, he was organised that because he didn't all take place in one scoop. I mean, he sort of took, say, probably about a couple of months for the complete evacuation of the people to North Africa.